And here we are again.
We have two special guests on the midday today. We are coming to you from Buck's studio in Vilas Halls. Tenor and composer Stephen Ebel and his accompanist Daniel Schlossberg, who is the artist in residence and a member of the music faculty at Notre Dame. Stephen Ebel made history when he became the first singer and composer in the 118-year history of the Royal Opera House in London to perform his own work under their auspices. Entitled Diary of a Young Poet, it's a work for tenor, narrator, and piano set to poems and prose by Rilke. And we'll hear a little bit of that this afternoon. He has since premiered additional new works there and is co-director of New Music New York. His voice will be heard on a Naxos release coming out next year. He was the subject of a recent article in Opera Today, and he's in the current issue of BBC Music Magazine. But here in Wisconsin and at WPR, we know Stephen Ebel when he was a student at UW-Madison. He was the coordinator at the Chazen for our Sunday afternoon live concerts and a winner of WPR's Neil Silva Young Artists Competition.
Which year? Anybody remember?
He thinks...
I think it was 2000 or 2001.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea you were so old.
Earlier this decade. And he's a native of Jefferson and got his Bachelor of Vocal Performance right here at UW-Madison. Welcome, Stephen, and welcome, Daniel.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Well, now your Wisconsin connection. I heard Jefferson mentioned.
Jefferson, that's right. Born and raised on a sort of farm right outside the city limits. And my uncle lives right across the street, and we have coffee with him every day.
What brings you back to Wisconsin?
I'm currently in residence at the Staines Institute, and that's part of the Ravinia Festival, and that's sort of an education branch of the Ravinia Festival. And I'm there getting instruction, master classes, and giving performances from basically the rest of August.
And what about Jefferson got you interested in, not just interested in, but actually actively performing and creating classical song?
Well, Jefferson had, at least when I was growing up, it had a wonderful, thriving community theater. And I was 12 or something like that, and my parents had just gotten a divorce. And it was a rather traumatic time as a child. And so my mom said, go try out for this. And they take anyone, anyone who's willing. That was what – and so I was in the children's chorus. I was in the bar scene. I was in the, the Fagin's gang. It was an incredible experience, having lived up, sort of – not cloistered, but, kind of far away. And so from then on, I started – singing music and searching out things. And I see when we got our first CD player, I bought Beethoven and Mozart instead of, like Garth Brooks or something like that, And I just got hooked from the first sort of chord of Beethoven's First Symphony. And I just kept going from there.
Songs
came out, I guess, of musical theater and then solo and ensemble in high school. Well, we started to have to sing songs, and I sang Mendelssohn and in English, and a couple other songs in English that came from that. And then I found a professor here at the University of Madison, and I had a lesson from her, and she said, you could do this for a living if you'd like.
Wow.
And I
really?
Had never, I was 17 years old, and I hadn't even thought I could do this. This is pretty fun, So otherwise, it was sort of a career in natural sciences or something is what I was thinking about. And
well, this is a pretty natural science.
Yeah, it's pretty natural science.
Aren't you really putting yourself out on a limb more than any other performer, though, as a singer, because people are going to judge you, and just not on the, the quality of the performance, but the quality of something that's really inherently you. It's not your violin, it's not your piano, it's your voice. Isn't that a very personal thing to put out on a limb like that every time you perform?
Of course it can be, and we can be very vulnerable creatures. But, I mean, the other part is that it is so intensely personal that it's something that's very difficult to share, I guess, in an intimate setting, but it's much easier to share in a more public forum. For some reason.
So if you're with a group of people who is singing, happy birthday or something, do you have trouble not going full bore with the voice and everybody kind of
I usually sing very, very muted when it comes to happy birthday, because I feel like then I draw attention from the person who's, you know, who the song is about.
Well, speaking about being vulnerable in your performance, not only are you a talented singer and you're getting kudos for your stage presence, but you're a gifted composer, and that is also putting your soul on the line. You're putting your creativity, your creation out there for people's judgment. How has that been?
It's been interesting, but as I've gotten better, I've become much more comfortable with it. I started when I was 2000, right towards the end of my degree here, and I was much more insecure about the music that I was writing, and now I'm much more confident about it. But it's also a matter of, I mean, the reason why I wanted to do it was because I felt like the repertoire that is very vast and great doesn't always speak to our current situation, doesn't always speak to our current troubles or our peculiarities of our time. And so I tried to pick things that that spoke new things, even if necessarily, and I feel like my music isn't necessarily anything entirely new. It doesn't try and break down walls or that sort of thing. It just feels to express the text that I have and tell a story that hopefully is moving and
meaningful.
Important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What sort of affinity do you have for Schumann then as a composer and singer?
Schumann, I love Schumann because he's so subject to his emotions, and it's very it can be very, well, manic in a way, you know, and I love the way that he illustrates it in harmony, and things shift and move in such subtle ways and also such drastic ways.
And what about the songs like Liederkreis?
The Liederkreis, which I'm singing at the Ravinia Festival on August 11th, I'm singing some of it. It's fairly new to me, which I love, you know, discovering all this stuff for the first time. And it's a collection of poems. It doesn't tell a story. It just sort of tells a bunch of... it's very atmospheric, I would say. Most of the music is very atmospheric and not so... Like some of the other cycles, they always have a sort of a plot,
sure,
a through line.
Let's hear a little bit of Schumann.
That's right.
Well, what's this first one called?
In der Fremde, so in the strange land. And it's a person narrating his situation where he's comes into a foreign land where nobody knows him, and everyone that he knows is long gone and dead. And he says, so very soon comes the quiet time where I will also rest. And over him rushes the beautiful wild solitude, or solitude of the wild. It's difficult to translate.
In der Fremde.
Stephen Ebel and Daniel Schlossberg.
Aus der Heimat hinter den Blitzen ruht, da kommen die Wolken hier. Aber Vater und Mutter sind lange tot, es kennt mich dort keine mehr. Bald, ach wie bald kommt die stille Zeit, da ruhe ich auch, da ruhe ich auch, und gebe mir aus die schöne Einsamkeit, und keine kennt mich mehr hier, und keine kennt mich mehr hier.
In Der Fremde, and I see a little later we're going to be getting to maybe a contrasting piece where he calls it the beautiful foreign
right.
land. So there's an upside to it there somewhere, too.
In the meantime, we're going to head to the forest.
Head to the forest.
A great place for a romantic. The forest.
A good place for a romantic, although this is hints at a romantic tryst gone wrong.
Oh, dear.
And it is a conversation, a dialogue between a hunter, most likely lost in the woods, and the Lorelei.
Oh, the femme fatale.
The femme fatale. And he begins to very shamelessly seduce her. And she warns him to stay away. You don't know who I am. And you hear the music distinctly changes for her lines. Then it comes back. He tries yet harder, very, very obvious in his intentions. And then he recognizes her and becomes very scared. And she then uses his words against him towards the end and says, "You will never come again to this wilderness." And they walk away together.
Waldisch Gespräch. Did I say that correctly?
Gespräch.
Gespräch.
Es ist schon spät, es ist schon kalt. Was treibst du einsam durch den Wald? Der Wald ist lang, du bist allein. Du schöne Braut, ich führ dich heim. Groß ist der Männer Trug und List, vor Schmerz mein Herz gebrochen ist. Wohl irrt das Wald umher und hin. O flieh, o flieh, du weißt nicht, wer ich bin. So reich geschmückt ist Ross und Weib, so wunderschön, so wunderschön, der junge Leib. Jetzt kenn ich dich, Gott, steh mir bei, du bist die Hexe Lorelei. Du kennst mich wohl, du kennst mich wohl, von hohem Stein schaut still mein Schloss tief in den Rhein. Es ist schon spät, es ist schon kalt. Kommst nimmermehr aus diesem Wald, nimmermehr, nimmermehr aus diesem Wald.
That's a useful line, isn't it? Du weißt nicht, wer ich bin. You don't know who I am. And she turns out, of course, to be the Hexe Lorelei, that quintessential femme fatale if you're out in those Germanic woods. Is the moonlight any happier in this progression here?
The moonlight is quite atmospheric, and it is one of the quintessential romantic poems. It just basically is a, well, it turns out to be a soul in flight, is sort of the result of the poem, and is very, very famous. There's all sorts of recordings at all sorts of different tempos, and it's not only a very famous song, but even before the song was written, it's a very important poem.
Can I mention just that the poetry in this cycle is by Eichendorff? There are actually two Liederkreises cycles by Schumann. The other one is with Heine. So this is the Eichendorff poem. And the Monacht poem, as Steve said, is one of the most famous. And I think Thomas Mann said it was the most beautiful of all German romantic poems. And probably the setting is also equally as beautiful. So.
One of the English translated lines is, "The night is so beautiful that you feel your soul soaring above the moonlit landscape as if it were returning home to heaven." It's lovely.
Moonlight. Moonlit night certainly lives up to its expectations of that kind of romantic intensity.
With the soul flying home.
Which brings us to the, is it a contrasting piece? With Inda Fremda, which we started with, which is this artistic soul in a strange place. And now we have a Schöne Fremde, in which this strange place is beautiful. What's the connection
between those two? It's beautiful and it speaks... You know, just like very romantic, quintessential romantic, the nature speaks to the person within it and speaks of the great happiness to come. And it describes the trees and the old ruins and then the growth around the ruins and the stars all speak. From this beautiful, strange place.
Schöne Fremde.
Es rauschen die Wipfel. Nebel und Schauern, als machten zu dieser Stund um die halb versunkenen Mauern die alten Götter die Rund. Hier hinter den Myrtenbäumen in heimlich dämmender Pracht, was sprichst du wir wie in Träumen zu mir fantastische Nacht? Es funkeln auf mich alle Sterne mit glühendem Liebesblick. Es redet trunken die Ferne wie von künftigem großen Glück.
You can hear the optimism coming right out of that music. Mm. Yeah. And we can see it in you. For listeners at home, we might be able to put something up on Facebook a little bit later, but Stephen is obviously very comfortable on stage, and you're expressing the music physically as well as through your voice.
Well, thank you. I have no choice.
that's true art, isn't it? So is it... Auf einer Burg?
Or? Auf einer Burg.
Auf einer Burg, as opposed to what we have here, which would be an eye on a mountain, I think. But
to be in a castle?
It's like Dolly or something.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is quite a striking image. It's a very atmospheric poem that describes a old knight who sat on this tower of an old castle and who's turned to stone. And the... at over 100 years, and there's all this peace and wonderful things. The birds sit and sing in the empty windows, and one sees this is on the Rhine, of course. The Rhine.
Where else would the castle be?
Yeah,
that's where I'd have mine.
And we see a wedding on a ship that's being celebrated, and you hear the musicians and the sunshine. But the bride is crying.
Eingeschlafen auf der Lauer oben ist der alte Ritter, trübe gehen Regen schaue. Und der Wald rauscht durch das Gitter, eingewachsen Bart und Haare und versteinert Brust und Krause sitzt er viele hundert Jahre oben in der stillen Klause. Draußen ist es still und friedlich, alle sind ins Tal gezogen, Waldesvögel einsam singen in den leeren Fensterbogen. Eine Hochzeit fährt da unten auf den Rhein in Sonnenscheine. Musikanten spielen munter und die schöne Braut, die war.
That's like a hanging ending, isn't it?
It's very much a hanging ending.
What a rich melody, beautiful piece.
Rich melody and wonderful voices all the way through.
It's a very haunting song, as is the next one we're doing.
We're delighted to welcome Stephen Ebel and his accompanist, Daniel Schlossberg. Stephen is a tenor, and he's a composer. He's a graduate of UW-Madison here because he's appearing at Ravinia on August 11th with Songs of Schumann and Barber. And he's regaling us singing. It's just wonderful to be here.
And he left us with a hanging ending in this Schubert song title, the Liederkreis, the one that has lyrics by Eichendorff. The bride was crying. We're just going to leave that one where it was.
And that's where it leaves in the cycle, too. It picks up another mood on the next song.
So now it's twilight.
Twilight. It's a very suspicious twilight. Where you, the clouds come in, and it's very troubling, and the narrator does not understand what it means. But he feels this, this suspicion, this worry. And he says, if you love a deer more than others, meaning if you love someone more than others, don't let it graze alone because hunters are in the wild and sound their horns everywhere. And if you have a friend, do not trust him in this hour, even though they speak in a deceptive peace. And it ends with this very sort of striking register change to be aware and stay on your guard.
Hmm. Twilight.
A little sense of foreboding. This is Stephen Ebel, music of Schumann.
Grauen bedeuten. Hast du den Reh, du lieb vor anderen, lass es nicht alleine grasen, Jäger ziehen im Wald und blasen. Stimmen hin und wieder wandern. Hast du einen Freund in Ehre, trau ihm nicht zu dieser Stunde, freundlich wohl mit Aug und sind der Krieg im Tückchen Frieden. Was heut geht müde unter, hebt sich morgen geboren. Manches geht in Nacht verloren. Hüte dich, sei wach und munter.
Well,
quite a twilight.
Yeah, quite twilight. Quite a range there too in that piece. I'm guessing that with the next one, which is called Spring Night, things are going to have a little bit of an upturn.
They do have an
very much so
positive upturn. I don't know, this song always makes me happy.
I think it's one of Schumann's most ecstatic songs, for sure.
Mm. And it you know, talks about the spring, this coming spring, and it celebrates the coming spring. And the moon and the stars say, the birds say, miracles appear, they say to you, that nature, sie ist dein, sie ist dein. So she is yours, she is yours.
Im Garten durch die Lüfter hört ich Wandervögel ziehen, das bedeutet Frühlingsdüfte. Unten fängt schön an zu blühen. Jauchzen möchte weinen, ist mir's doch, als könnt's nicht sein. Alte Wunder wieder scheinen mit dem Mondesglanz herein. Und der Mond, die Sterne sagen's, und im Traum rauscht der Hain, und die Nachtigallen schlagen's. Sie ist deine, sie ist dein.
You're right. That is Schumann, and it was very ebullient frame
ecstatic
of mind.
Ecstatic, yes.
Let's bring Stephanie in on the act. Is this the time where we...
It is. We've been listening to this wonderful Liederkreis, the song cycle from the Opus 39 by Schumann. And we're going to shift gears now to a piece called Diary of a Young Poet. It's based on the poetry of Rilke. And Stephen, you are the composer, and why don't you tell us a little bit about how this piece came to be?
When I was, my voice teacher here suggested that I read Letters to a Young Poet, as I suggest anyone in the arts when you're young to read, and it basically tells you that, you know, if you can't live without doing your art, then you should do it. But if not, don't do it, because you'll just suffer. and then the suffering will be worth it, you know, if you choose to do it because you love it. And from this, then I wanted to find out, he was 30 or something like that when he was writing those letters to a specific person. I wanted to find out what he was thinking when he was my age or shortly after. I found these diaries at the university bookstore. I picked them up and I started underlining every page and underlining boxing every part. It was ridiculous how much stuff I wanted to remember and know and revisit. And I didn't know German at the time, but I thought I need to learn German to understand it fully. And there are three diaries within that book, which is published by Norton, and I've been in contact with the translators. And the last diary I chose to sort of illustrate and bring out sort of a highlighted theme throughout, which was this search, this quest, which is not unusual for Rilke to be searching for something and asking questions. But in the diary, he kind of finds it twice. And so I decided to try and make an arc to those sort of two findings, the fall in between the two, and then this sort of affirmation of faith, of his belief in a soul, of his belief in God. I mean, you can interpret it however you like.
And it's been very well received.
I've been very happy. It received a premiere in its totality.
At the
Royal Opera House, as part of the Yetta Parker program's Young Artist Week, where they feature all the young artists and solo performances, which this year will be October 23rd through 28th. And then it was staged along in a mixed performance. It was mixed up with Britten's cabaret songs and Schumann's Frauenlieben und Leben. And it was all sort of pushed together, and we were all in purgatory and sort of stuck in our own search, if you will.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Search for Our Way Out.
Interesting.
All right, so we'll hear several of the songs from your diary of a young poet.
I am great. This will be the first and second song combined. There's a narration that combines the entire cycle, so there's never really an end to a song. Sometimes there's a beginning, but the ends of songs sort of dovetail with text and speaking or an interlude by the piano. And this first song is about what destiny is. And destiny is more than chance, less than fate. And it is a wing beat felt in evening, conscious of a rose, the beauty of a rose. And then the English narration comes in. And then the second song is, again, it's a search for images, trying to find something that barely happens in a premonition. And I'd like to think that it's illuminated in the music, because every once in a while you get a major chord that slips out amongst all the... It's not entirely dissonant, but it slips out amongst the heaviness and
the searching
quality, yeah.
And I'll be narrating, so if you hear me... talking. I'm not stepping on Stephen. Diary of a Young Poet by Stephen Ebel. September 27, 1900.
Schicksale sind, ich fühl es alle Tage. Viel mehr als Zufall, weniger als Lose, sind Luft gefüllt von einem Flügelschlage. Abende im Bewusstsein eine Rose.
I had brought roses, and they drank them, almost all empty on this city day that passed so quickly. Each one of us held one of my roses with which to find one another again if some one of us got lost in ruminations. Nothing much caught my attention.
Alles Gefühl in Gestalten und Handlungen wird es unendlich groß und leicht. Ich ruhe nicht, bis ich das eine erreicht, Bilder zu finden für meine Verwandlung. Mir genügt nicht das steigende Licht. Einmal muss ich es mächtig wagen, weit in sichtbar zu sagen, was im Ahnen kaum geschieht.
That last line, what barely happens in a premonition. Neat.
Mm. Yes, I mean, he was very I mean, you know, he had such a wonderful capacity already to write a poem like this, and yet he was searching for more. He was searching for meaning. And worse, I mean, some people could think of that as being extremely narcissistic, that he wants more and more and find more and more. What I find so fascinating is that it applies to us all so much that, you know, his individual experience is very important for us to understand because he could illustrate it so well.
We hear, what's the next one? Und wieder rauscht?
Und wieder rauscht. And that is, und wieder rauscht, mein tiefes Leben lauter. So, my, and yet rushes my deep life larger. And it's going through several images. Most of them are sort of water and wind images, which are fairly easily illustrated in the piano part. And, you know, he uses words like Dinge, thing, nothing that's quite specific, but that, you know, that he's reaching towards. And he comes to a very high point, and he feels his senses flying through the air like wings, like birds in a tree in the sky. And everything feels heavy, like everything sinks like heavy fishes.
Und wieder rauscht mein tiefes Leben lauter, als ob es jetzt in breiten Ufern ginge. Immer verwandter werden mir die Dinge. Alle Bilder immer angeschaut, dem Namenlosen fühl ich mich vertraut. Sinnen, wie mit Vögeln reiche ich in die windigen Himmel aus der Eiche und in den abgebrochenen Tag der Teiche. Auf schweren Fischen mein Gefühl.
And you hear the heavy fish sinking.
Which he excellently played.
Yeah.
Good fish. Good fish.
We're getting close to the end of the hour.
Okay. Well, we'll make it an all German hour at this rate.
Well, I was thinking maybe, Stephen, we have time for one more piece, so if you'd like
I'd like to sing something in English, because everyone here understands English.
Oh, all right.
And it's a poet very close to my heart who's still living, and actually, Norman, who we've talked about, Wendell Berry.
Yes, who has put in a couple of Wisconsin appearances in his book, Jaber Crow, has been on Chapter a Day, and he's very versatile, very popular, and certainly very well-spoken.
Definitely.
How did you discover Wendell Berry?
Through an interview on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Oh.
You're here.
Right.
I think I was about 19, and I bought a book of his poetry, and that was what really made me start composing.
Wow.
Because it was I wanted more people to see this. I wanted to also say it. Which is very difficult to do, a book of poetry, which is always now, you know, poetry is so internal. It's not read out loud as much as it is.
So true. Yeah. That's right. Not as much as it should be.
Yeah.
So what will you be singing for us?
So this is a song. It's actually on the back of his book, Given. and it's called The Yellow-Throated Warbler. And it's just, it's about beauty of the natural world and how they live in the present moment, how this bird in particular lives in the present moment and in all the beauty that there is. And he lives in the only moment of his life, which is always, and doesn't have these sort of worries that that we can create, as opposed to not even that we have, but that we create. So,
The Yellow-Throated Warbler, text by Wendell Berry. Music by Stephen Ebel, sung by Stephen Ebel.
The yellow-throated warbler, the highest, remotest voice of this place, sings in the tops of the tallest sycamores. But one day he came twice to the railing of my porch, where I sat at work above the river. He was too close to see with binoculars. Only the naked eye could take him in. A bird more beautiful than any picture of himself. More beautiful. Beautiful than himself, killed and preserved by the most skilled taxidermist. More beautiful than any human mind, so small and inexact, could ever hope to remember. My mind became beautiful by the sight of him. He had the beauty only of himself alive, in the only moment of his life. He had upon him, like a light, the whole beauty of the living world that never dies.
The Yellow-Throated Warbler. Has Wendell Berry heard your performance?
I have sent it to him, and we did it. My group, New Music New York, did an evening all of his songs, and he sent me a letter, you know, saying best of luck.
Well, how nice. It does make me wish that that Wendell Berry had been able to write lyrics for Schumann. There's some wonderful stuff in there. And it's been a wonderful hour with Stephen Ebel and Daniel Schlossberg today. Great to have you with us.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Stephen will be appearing at Ravinia on August 11th with music of Schumann and Barber. And you can find information at ravinia.org. And the box office is 847-266-5100. And if you'd like to find out more about Stephen Ebel, it's spelled Steven Ebel. And Shows right up in a Google search.
That's right. That's right. One of the Neil Silva winners from, we're not even sure, 9 or 10 years ago. Is that what you decided?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Great to have you.
We won't put a number on it.
Way back in with us today, however long it's been. Well, we hope it won't be another 9 or 10 years before you hit our airwaves again. We would like to thank our engineer today, Joe Hartke, and Lori Skelton for being in the FM studio. Some page turning there at the last minute by Rick Mumford on short notice. Thank you. And also thanks to Angie for fielding your calls today for the quiz question.